Hello and welcome. Ni hao ma, namaste. Hello, how are you? Welcome to Green Tea. It's Colbin with yet another installment of Green Tea, the podcast from Asia. What a beautiful day today is. It's a nice, beautiful, cloudy day. Haven't left the bed, still here, recording this, having a good time. Yeah, enjoying the last few days of winter. We're now in spring. As most of you know, we just recently celebrated our Chinese New Year. Yeah, no effect on me though, because hey, I'm African. But oh well, we'll soldier on. Welcome, it's Green Tea, the podcast. Yeah, so how are you? That's weird, right? I mean, I said that like you would really text back or say, oh, we good, we fine. But anywho, how are you doing? Okay, so today we're talking about we sleep with our enemies. That's weird, right? Because actually this came about when I was, well, recently a situation ensued. And a friend of ours recently came to an accomplishment and people that were supposed to be celebrating with him were not. So I just thought to myself, he's not the only one, really. Many of us actually do have some great things happening in our lives. And then that one person, you know, that one person who's supposed to actually say congratulations, that one person who's supposed to acknowledge your hard work, doesn't say anything, remains mum, you know. And you ask yourself, I literally work my tailbone off and you don't even acknowledge that. I do this, you don't even say congratulations. I do that for you. You don't even acknowledge that. You say thank you as if it's something you could have done yourself. Well, in most cases, it's something that you could have done yourself. But when someone else takes the effort and puts it into that and does it for you, you owe to say thank you. If someone else close to you accomplishes something, big or small, trivial or important, it's your job to acknowledge that, as they probably have been doing the entire time. When something happens in your life, you know, hence this little topic of mine, we sleep with our enemies. I mean, think about this. You have been in a relationship, and this does not only relate to romantic relationships, any relationship you might have had, whether it's a friendship or it's an acquaintanceship or it's a family love or something. And then on one of those days, you have an argument with that person, specific person. And on that day, you actually get to see their true colors, you know. So once a relationship goes sour that way, I mean, there are instances where people argue. Let's start there. People argue. And when they argue, you can still argue and still be friends. But then there's this an argument that when you read in between the lines, you can actually pick up the deep-seated hatred, the long repressed hatred that has been in their hearts for you. Or maybe hate is a far too strong a word to actually explain this, but the deep-seated feelings of resentment that have been laying about, you know, this undercurrent of displeasure finally comes out. And then you think to yourself, what have I been dating? Who have I been friends with? You know? And then suddenly that person becomes your enemy overnight because of one little misunderstanding. And then bear in mind, any relationship that has a strong foundation survives most pitfalls. You know? If you have an argument, but so with your lover, over something, and if you can't really bounce back from that argument, was the relationship that strong to begin with? If you are in a friendship and you argue to a point where you can't really go back, was that really ever a friendship to begin with? Was your friendship a strong one to begin with? Have you been laughing with someone who never really loved you or someone that kept you at bay, you know? Someone that was just pretending the entire time. And here you are, thinking that, well, I've got a friend, I've got a partner, I've got a boyfriend, I've got a got a husband, I've got a girlfriend. But only to think that just one little argument can actually come, you know, can come in between and just split the two of you. I'm not religious, but, you know, I remember there's some guy in the Bible that actually split the ocean in two parts and people could actually walk through to the other side. So if a little argument can actually come through and break you into two parts, have you been sleeping with the right person or have you been sleeping with your enemy? Huh? Ask yourself that question. And another thing, do we actually build relationships to last a lifetime or do we build relationships to actually just go on? Because there are relationships that you see out there and then you think, oh wow, they've been together for a long time, they've been friends for a long time. You know, you saw them as teenagers and then you see them after, let's say, 20 years and they're still joined at the hip. And then you ask yourself, how does anyone build and sustain such a relationship? It's radical, huh? But it does make sense. You didn't really work that hard to build the solid rock foundation of your friendship. But how do you do that, actually? How do we know for sure that the person we're friends with is actually good for us? How do we know that the person that we are friends with, the person that we associate ourselves with, is actually the one that shares us, you know? How do we know that? How do we know that the person that we love wishes the best for us? How do we know that the person that we're sleeping next to hopes for the best? How do we know the person we're sleeping with, the person that we associate ourselves with, actually wants us to succeed? How do we know for sure that when we break down and we fall apart, they'll be there to help us pick up the pieces? How do we know? I mean, I haven't figured out that formula. But has anybody ever? Because I'm not being a cynic, but these are questions that we should all ask ourselves. How do you know that the person you tell everything to does not tell anybody? How do we know the person that we expose our insides to and tell secrets from the deepest parts of our hearts, from the darkest and deepest parts of our hearts, does not really want to go up and tell everyone what we told them? How do we know that the friend that we call a friend is actually a friend? How do we know that the partner that we're building with is actually building with you? Or as you lay one brick and you look away, they take away the other brick. How do you know that the person you're building with is not the one delaying the completion of the project? How do we know that? See, we're sleeping with our enemies. I mean, there are some of us who sleep with our, you know, with our friends, and we sleep with all of that. Well, in a nutshell, we sleep with people that want the same things for us and want the same things that they would want for themselves. But then there are people that we try to go somewhere with, yet they keep dragging us back then. So those are the enemies that we sleep with. Come to think of it, it really is a fucked up world, is it not? You accomplish something and your best friend says nothing about it. You go and you pass this paper that you're writing. You graduate, not cum laude, but you graduate as everyone else wants to graduate and move on to the next stage of their life. And then that particular person says nothing. How does that make you feel? Are you sleeping with the right person or are you sleeping with your enemy? Are you? Baffling, right? Yeah. It's a fucked up world we live in. Well, anyway, that felt like a rumble, you know, like I was rambling and everything else. But it's actually something that happened and something that I saw. So I thought, hey, how many people have actually seen this happen and they thought to themselves, no, I'm probably just exaggerating. No, my friend, you're not exaggerating. There are people that actually experience these things and there are people that look at it and think, that shouldn't be this way. It should be this way. This person should be congratulating me. This person should be saying, well done, you did good. Yet here they are. They keep quiet as if you just woke up and went on about your business. Nothing happened. Are the people that we really are associated with the best people for us? I mean, you meet somebody and then you get into the habit of liking them, and then soon after, it's a relationship. You meet someone else at the mall or in a grocery store. They're wearing a cool sweater. You compliment that, and then they compliment you back. And then, hey, you pick up their energy. It's a positive one. It matches yours. And then suddenly you become friends. And soon after, you're inseparable. Yet when a time comes for this person to actually show you that you actually are their friend, they fail. Are you sleeping with your enemy? Are you? Is that person right for you? Is that friend that you keep holding on to? Is that friend right for you? Is that friend praying for you even? When you break down, when you cry, when you dive into their arms and you cry and you bawl your eyes out. I mean, are they really empathetic or they're just pretentious? How do you know if that person actually didn't do anything to, I don't know, maybe, well, maybe I'm reaching. But just take a moment and think. Are the people that we're sleeping with good for us? Or are we sleeping with our enemies? Just watch your people, watch your friends, watch how they are. I mean, you will discover a lot of things. I'm not sure if your friendship will survive or anything else that brings you close to that person will survive. But hey, we're often told to guard our hearts. Are we truly guarding our hearts with the right people? Are we entrusting our secrets to the right people? That's quite a deep conversation that I just had right now. A little somber and morbid. But hey, I saw something and I just had to talk. Lighten up now. It's Happy New Year in China. And hopefully wherever you are, the sun is shining. You know, it's strawberries and lollipops and rainbows and everything else. Yeah, where we are. Yeah, we're still on that tip of the new year. So, till next time. Green tea, Corbin, have your tea, no sugar, your green tea that is. Until next time, have a good one. Bye bye, chicha. Hello and welcome to Green Tea, your Asian podcast, rather your random Asian podcast, by me, Corbin Green. Does that sound right? I don't know. Do I care? I don't think I do. Do you? I think you have better things to actually think of. Or you have better struggles. Yeah, right? Anyway, how are you? I'm good. Settle down. I actually just had my cup. My first cup of green tea, actually. I just had that with no sugar. See, I lead by example. I've been taking green tea for like, what, for like 3 weeks? Courtesy of my boss, of course. He's a tea enthusiast, just like me. So I take my green tea with no sugar. Yeah, you know, it's not the same as mint tea, because mint tea has somewhat of a mintish flavor. Green tea is just dried up leaves and the tea is all greenish. But I love it. It really does wonders for your digestive system. You should try that, you know, it'll calm you down. Yeah, well, I don't think it has the same effect on me, but anyway, it is what it is. It's just tea. So how are you? Welcome. Settle down. I'm good. I actually went to bed last night around 11:30-ish. And yeah, I woke up around like, what, 10 or something? No. Actually, I woke up around 8:30. So I think I did kind of have some okay-ish of a rest. I did. Is that 8 hours? Such a dumbass, I don't know. Maths was never really my strongest point in school. Anyway, we're not judging, right? So I had a good time. Yeah, I did actually have a good time. I did. Last night. I drank, I ate, and oh my god, I didn't call my boyfriend, did I? Oh, I'll call him after I'm done here. I miss him terribly. Anyway. So anyway, guys, today we're talking about commonalities. Do commonalities really determine a long-lasting friendship? I mean, having stuff in common with your friends, does that lead to a long and lasting? Or should we stretch it up a bit and say a long-lasting or a lifetime of a friendship? Do you believe that befriending people who have the same interests as you, does that give you a guarantee that you guys will not even have an argument? Does that mean you will have a fruitful friendship where it's just strawberries and lollipops and rainbows all together? Will you be giving each other those friendship necklaces or bracelets or tattoos and all that? Really, does that? Does it guarantee that, actually? Does it guarantee that? Because, I mean, take it from me. I think I actually have different friends. And by different, I mean I have friends whom I have stuff in common with. And I have friends that I have little to no commonalities with. Yeah, because, I mean, well, actually looking at my friendships, I think I have my friends where I can, you know, relax and talk books and talk politics and talk about literally anything. And then I have my friends whom I kind of let dominate the friendship, because half the time we're talking, I have no freaking idea what we're talking about. And I just listen there. Sometimes I even pass out. I'm sorry, Clement, but I do. You know, you talk too much and sometimes I pass out. So should I be, I don't know, should I be crucified for that? I don't know. I don't know. Call me whatever you want to call me, but that does happen, you know. And sometimes, to some degree, I think that you cannot really pigeonhole your friend-making exercise to commonalities, because sometimes, well, I feel like sometimes if you have a lot in common with your friend, it might actually, you know, mar the friendship. And it could actually, I don't know, it could cause conflict in the friendship sometimes. In most cases, if you are of the same personality, you know, and it's true what they say, too much of anything is kind of bad, I think. Well, I know, but you know, maybe you don't know yet, so you're still kind of thinking about this as I'm talking about it. So does that really guarantee you a good friendship? You know, does it mean that you will not even, I don't know. Well, this kind of happens. Sometimes they say that if you like a lot of the same things with your friends, it could actually lead into other things. You know, there are things that you want to have in common with your friends, and there are things that you don't want to have in common with your friends. Some of the things may include the kind of partner that you want to date. You know, doesn't your friend likes a particular guy, or your friend likes a particular girl? And then at the end of the day, you both like the same things. And you know what they say? A few drinks here and there, and then so and so, and then, oh well, you wake up with a big oopsie the next morning. Right? Commonalities gone wrong, right? Does the expression two peas in a pod, does that loosely transition into real life experiences, or whoever conjured up that nonsense was just on a creative high? Really, two peas in a pod? I think, for me personally, I think you cannot really go around befriending people who are of the same personality as you, because in most of my friendships I'm mostly the awkward one out of the situation. I'm the oddball. I mean, my friends are rooted deep and calm people. You know, they listen to somewhat of the same music, they date somewhat of the same, sometimes similar people. So I'm the one that actually comes in and say, hey, have you heard of this artist? Have you watched that movie? Have you watched that show? And they say, oh my God. I know for a fact that most of my friends actually detest. Yes, they detest my music taste. They will say, oh, well, you listen to Anya. That is very, 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 very weird. Some people actually go to an extent of saying, she's satanic. How do you listen to that? My sister actually went to as far as saying that she sounds like, I don't know, you know those people that sing, you know, that choir that sings at a funeral, it's all somber and it's all morbid. Yeah, she's actually gone to that far to actually describe my musical taste. So you see, I'm not really somebody that you could say, well, we like the same things. I mean, there are people that like the same things as me, mainly music. You know, there's somebody out there that likes Anya, and some of my friends actually do like Taylor Swift. I do jam into that sometimes. But then again, I think I've kind of grown out of that. So, yeah, I kind of have lost that commonality of some sort. So I don't really think that you should have friends whom you have everything in common with. Like I just said, that my friends think I'm an oddball because I like stuff that they don't. Yet, we do have things that actually connect us. Come to think of it, yeah, we do. Really, we do. So I guess whoever said that two peas in a pod, yada yada, all of that, I think this is just like a babble. You know, that's what I think. But I'm interested in what you think. So do you think that having the same interests, that actually guarantees you, it guarantees you, you know, by guarantee, does that ascertain you a great friendship? I mean, I could name all my friends, you know, Zama. And here in China, I'm friends with Tabi Seng, you know, and Tabi Seng wants nothing to hear about my music. In fact, the other day I had to compile him a playlist for a party, and then she said, oh no, that's the worst mistake you could do, Cardinal, you can't. Earth-shattering mistake. Do not let him compile music, because anyway, we know he likes that old woman, you know, that woman who sings in foreign languages. And then there's my boyfriend too, who says, I'd rather sing along to something else. I'd rather listen to somebody else other than some woman who conjures up her own language. That's Anya. I love you, Anya. Everyone knows that I love Anya. I'm obsessed with Anya, you know. So another question is, being totally in sync with your friends, is that a good thing? Or is it a bad thing? I mean, totally in sync, meaning that, well, let's narrate it down to dating people. Is it really what it's cracked up to be? I mean, what if they start liking what you like to an extent, liking the same guy, and then they end up in a situation? Do you still think that was a good thing? Because a lot of my friends don't have a lot of things in common with me. But I think, though, you do need some kind of a commonality. I mean, what do you talk about? And there are people here that make friends for certain reasons, the same way that people get into relationships for certain gains or certain reasons or certain purposes. Hence the term situationship. Well, I haven't really figured out what to call that friendship, you know. So, freshuationship? well, I guess that rhymes. Anyway, so does that really matter? Does it really matter? Because for me, I believe in kindred spirits, you know, kindred hearts and all of that. If we're just drawn, for me, it has to do with your aura. If your aura is, I don't know, if your aura matches up mine, and then we kind of, because, well, one thing about me, I'm not peaceful. I'm not. I'm peaceful at times when I have no idea what's going on. Or if I walk into a room and there's no one I know, then I'm peaceful. Put me together with my squad, then I become a nightmare. Not that nightmare. Not hurricane, but I become a nightmare. That means I become terribly loud. And another thing, if somebody is loud and you are kind of rooted, I think that's a good and balanced, you know, situation, right? Because if your friend is loud and you're loud, doesn't that really kind of bring in a whole lot of unnecessary energy floating about? Because I'm all about a balance. The same thing with relationships. If your friend balances you out, then it works. If your partner is a, I don't want to say a stock, you know. Yeah. See how complicated it is? I mean, like, don't you wish that we could make friends like we did in primary, you know, when somebody gave you a slice of their sandwich and then you gave them an apple and then you just went away and did your thing and you were joined at the hip? God, wow, making friends as an adult sucks. Jesus, Jesus, oh my God, I can't. Lord, your children are just complicated. Now you gotta go to a Taylor Swift concert, you gotta listen to Lady Gaga, you gotta like that just to stay in a friendship, and the next thing you're fighting over something and now you're not talking to each other. God, Well, anyway, there are people that like... Well, you know, sometimes I think that I'm actually spiritual. Hence my suggestion earlier on that I become friends with people whose auras draw me in. Yeah, like I'm very aural. Not O. A-U. Aural. Your spirit is what draws me to you. You know, I believe that if you can connect, then you can be friends. I'm not really about all that jazz of oh, well, you like pink, I like pink, we like that person, we hate that person. Whoa, there we go. Now we have a beehive. Sorry, Beyonce, but, you know, you get what I'm trying to say here. You know, work with me. But, you know, so, yeah, for me, I think that commonalities do not really guarantee a good and a long-lasting friendship. I believe that kindred hearts and kindred spirits, goodwill. If you're kind to me, then I'm going to be your friend. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And that, for me, is a foundation of a great friendship. If you keep being nice to me, I'll keep being nice to you. And sooner or later, we're going to find our common ground, I think. I'm not really about that you need to be the same person as me. Hell, I don't think anybody wants to be like me. I don't think so. Sometimes there are days I don't want to be who I am. Because, you know, when I have to play back conversations I've had with other people. And I'm like, no, dude, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have worn that. So, yeah. And besides, I find different personalities in a friendship, or rather in a circle of friends, very refreshing, you know. And I believe that having friends who are of the of a different personality, because listen, like if we're all loud, then that means that I'll never call you if I need something, I don't know, like advice on how to dress for, I don't know, like a funeral or something. If I had a situation where I had to seek advice from you, and if you're just as loud as me, you're just gonna be shouting at me. If I'm hurt and I need you to soothe my aches, definitely, I'm not coming to you. You're the same thing as me. So I want to go to my friend who doesn't talk as much, you know, because I talk too much, I talk a lot. I want to go to a friend who doesn't talk as much as me. I want to go to a friend who's going to soothe me and say, it's okay, Colvin, we all go through this. You'll be fine, my friend. Lie to me if you must. You know, fact of the matter is, I came to you and you give me comfort, you know. And if I want knowledge about, let's see, I'm going to name drop, you know, I'll drop my friends' names. If I want advice on relationships, I'll go to Faith. Faith knows a lot, actually. Faith and I talk about, sometimes we gossip, but we talk a lot about other things, mainly relationships, you know, because, hey, well, you know, there's the term umjolo uyenyisa. So, yeah, that means relationships, you know, they can really kick you to the curb, you know. So that's the person I go to. Because she's open about some things. Well, a lot of things. She's open. I'm open. So we actually just pour our hearts into that. And then we come up with a solution. If I want to know about, let's see. If I want to know about great music, I'll go to Luca. Luca knows music, you know. If we're at a party and then we're all dancing, I'm like, hey, Luca, play some show. And then we can shimmy shimmy, you know. Luca, Clara, and myself, we're all about that vibe. And if I want to go and, I don't know, like gossip. Like South African gossip, I'll go to Zandile. She does that so well. Fills me in on the university gossip, fills me in on people in general, she fills me in. And if I want advice on, let's say, career paths, probably go to my friend Andy. He's balanced. He knows stuff, you know, that I don't know. Sometimes sometimes I'm shocked, I'm like, oh my God, you've got such knowledge. Another thing, if I want to know about finances, I'll go to Luca. Luca saves. My God, that boy saves money. He has saved such an exorbitant amount of money since he came to China. So if I need to know about money, I'll go to Luca. If I want to know about stocks, I'll go to Luca. So I'm sure by now you've picked up how I make my friendships. I make my friendships based on our connection. And I make my friendships based on what I can get from you, what I can learn from you. And before you judge me, based on what I can do for you as well. Because if you teach me, I teach you too. So we both need to benefit from the friendship. If we're just talking about stuff like music and that, that's all good and dandy when we're both drunk. But normally, we need to talk about stuff that actually builds us. So if I cannot build something, or if I cannot come to you as an empty vessel
and then leave your house or your presence full to the brim with knowledge, I don't want to be your friend. So for me, that's most important. Fill me up as much as I fill you up. Let's just grow, and let's just grow spiritually. Let's just be wise together as friends. Because I feel like a lot of people actually get into these friendships, rather, for the wrong reasons. You like that, I like that. You hate this girl, I hate this girl. Oh, that boy did you bad, I hate him, let's hate him. And then we're friends. Not actually examining the kind of friendship we've built, you know. Only to find that a few months down the line, well, that person is not making great music anymore. So literally we have nothing that connects us. And we're done. No more concerts, no more gossip about that person, and we're done. And some people actually team up because they hate a certain individual, you know. So your friendship is based off someone else's demise, or rather someone else's fortune, or someone else's indiscretion. So you hate somebody because they did you wrong and they did him wrong or her wrong. So you form a bond based on that. A few months down the line, they made peace. You stuck with no friend. Right? So that's how I build my friendships. We need to educate each other, build each other, laugh, and gossip, my favorite exercise, you know, and then drink or smoke, only cigarettes, no drugs, all right? So that's basically how I make my friendships. And I think it's actually important to build relationships such as those, you know, where you can actually benefit from somebody and they can benefit from you. Whether it be career advice or general life, you know, advice, you know, they have this and you can help out. You have this and they can help you out. Not this situations where we like something and then we form a friendship. No. My bond is very expensive. You want to be my friend? You need to be mature. You need to be open-minded. Because I am that. I'm not going to expect something from a friendship and not be able to give that back, or not be ready to give the same things to you. You know, a lot of people make the cardinal mistake of being friends with the right people, but for the wrong reasons. So before you venture out into a friendship, I would advise you to be at peace with a friend. Be at peace with the person that you're making creating a friendship, rather. Look at what you benefit from this person. Look at what you can learn from this person. And I actually do agree with this. It's okay to have multiple friends because you gain different things from these people. Like I mentioned earlier on, I get advice about this and this and that from a different person, and that can make me whole as a person. So it doesn't really have to trickle down to we like the same things. I mean, hell, I mean, Anya or Beyonce, they've got a million of fans. And you can't all be friends because you like that person. It goes deeper. Friendship is actually something that takes years to cultivate, or even a few months. But how you actually became friends with that person, or what made you become friends with that person, or what drew you to that person, is what actually determines how long the friendship will go. So, other than that, I don't think I'm going to be friends with someone else that I cannot benefit anything from. Oh my God, did I just ramble about friendships and commonalities? Please forgive me, but it had to be said. It had to be said. So what do you think? I mean, do you think that having a ton of stuff that's in common with your other with your friend or your other friend, does that really cement a good friendship? Are commonalities really important in a friendship? Do they guarantee you a long-lasting friendship? Or you're like me, you prefer to go on the aura of the person, the connection, because that's how I go for my friends. Let's hear you. So send me a message, you know, just click on the voice note option up there and then record a message and let me know. Do you believe that commonalities are important in a relationship? All right, until next time, your random podcast will be have your green tea with no sugar. I repeat, with no sugar. Until then, take care, love yourself, keep it light, pray, eat. Oh, Before I go, I actually came into something last night on Instagram. Since it's summer, it's going to be spring here. It's still summer wherever you are. It's called Hydrate and Masturbate. Until then, have your tea, your green tea, with no sugar. Have fun, read books, educate yourself, and broaden your horizons. This is me signing out, Colbin Green, for Green Tea, your random podcast. Bye-bye. Sarani gahle. Cheers.